Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17, once again. Be careful then how you live, how you peripateo, how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Pew Bible in verse 17 is a little more blunt. It says, don't be stupid. Know what God wants of you, is what the Pew Bible says for that verse. And so our question today is, well, what is the will of the Lord? And how do I know it? In the 1400s in France, there was a young woman named Joan of Arc, who is now a sainted person. And Joan of Arc, as a young woman, I think she was only 16, began hearing voices. And she determined that these voices was the voice of God, or God's messengers, God's angels. And these voices told Joan that she needed to lead the French army to kick England out of France. And so she went to a Prince Charles at the time, and was somehow able to convince Prince Charles that she needed to lead an attack to free the French city of Orleans from English power. And she did this, and she actually was successful in this. But later on, she had another vision, and she was to go and lead another attack, and that one didn't go so well. She was captured, and at the age of 19, she was burned at the stake for being a heresy and possibly tried for witchcraft and that. But to this day, Joan of Arc is a national hero of France. But the question I want to pose is, how do we know she was hearing the voice of God or not? How do we know that she actually knew what the will of the Lord is? And maybe it was the voice of God. I don't know. But how do we know for certain? And how do we know for certain what God's will is for us? Because Paul tells us that we need to live as wise people. We need to walk as wise people, not foolish. We need to be understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Because to be understanding of the will of the Lord is to walk as a wise person. Do we wait for voices in our head? The danger with that, of course, is you get people like David Koresh or Jim Jones, who I'm sure they thought what they were hearing in their heads, or whatever they were hearing, was also the will of the Lord. How do we know what the will of God is? And the answer is as plain as it was, hopefully, in the children's sermon. It all comes down to what God has revealed to us, which He has blessed us with, which He has given us, which is His very Word that we have in print before us. It's for this reason I think it's important that we begin to learn how to use this thing that is in front of us, this Bible, that we become more knowledgeable of it, because to walk wisely, to avoid the lava around us, we need to know the will of the Lord. And we know the will of the Lord by knowing Scriptures. Because in the Scriptures, God has shown us what His desires are, right? He's given us loads of commandments, the top 10, the 10 commandments. This is the will of God. That you honor your mother and father, that you live without committing adultery, that you do not commit murder, that you know that the Lord is only one God, and you follow the Lord. This is the will of God. Jesus also taught us what the will of the Lord in many of His teachings. In fact, one person came to Jesus asking Him, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" In other words, what's the will of God? What do we do? And Jesus sums it up for him. love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest would be to love your neighbor as yourself. You do all this, and you've got the entire law, the entire prophets, in other words, the entire Old Testament, you got it summed up just this way. You've got it. Paul says that understanding the will of God is walking wisely, not unwisely. And he implies in our passage that understanding the will of God, that one who does walk wisely, it's going to be evident in their day-to-day lives. So we have a couple questions before us this morning. And that is, do we walk wisely or do we walk unwisely? Do we walk wisely with understanding or do we walk foolishly? And we break this down into two categories. There's our moral everyday life behaviors, which the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments is especially pointed towards. And then there's our day-to-day life, our worship, our faith. So do we walk wisely or foolishly in our moral behaviors? Do we put ourselves, surround ourselves with people who influence us the wrong way? Do we watch or do things that we know aren't quite right? In this passage, Paul gives us an example that feels out of place. It's verse 18, where Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And you might ask, well, where does this reference to wine and drunkenness come from? I think Paul's giving us an example. And that example is that drunkenness is something that when you're in that state, what are you? You're weakened against temptation and sin. When you're in that state, you don't make smart decisions. You're more likely to stumble and do things that you would regret the next day. Using that example, do we walk wisely or do we walk foolishly? Do we walk with understanding or are we, as our pew Bible says, stupid? And in knowing the Word of God and what the Lord has done for us, we come to our second question. Do we walk in wisdom in our daily faith lives? Not just in our moral behaviors, but in those things that are before us every day. And here Paul talks about how we're to be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To walk in wisdom is, and to know the word of the Lord is to know what God has done for us. And when we know what God has done for us, Paul implies that we can't help but have Jesus on our lips, to have him overflowing in our hearts with thankfulness, to look at what God has done for us in our own salvation, to know that, geez, I am a terrible sinner, but look what Jesus has done for me. He died for me. He redeemed me. I know this because it's in His Word, and His Spirit has revealed it to me through His Word, and I am so thankful for that. Do we look around at the world around us and see, man, the Lord has blessed me with a great family. The Lord has blessed me with a great spouse. The Lord has blessed me with this house, with this community, with this job that I have, with my garden, with great fields, with the responsibility of working in the Lord's work or whatever. Do we look around at all these things and are we thankful for them? Do we have Jesus on our lips and in our mind. Because if we do, it implies that we are walking wisely, living wisely, that we are understanding of God's will for us, not just in how we conduct our lives on a day-to-day basis, but with what God has blessed us with and the many promises he has for us in his word. Is the Lord on your mind and in your lips? We have so much to be thankful for, because as Paul says, we do live in evil days. These days are fraught with natural disaster, with disease and famine and politics and political wrangling and fires and floods and violence and riots and all sorts of evil deeds done by sinful men and women. These are evil days, but the Lord has redeemed you. The Lord has died for you. The Lord has made you his own. He's bought you with his precious and most holy and innocent blood and called you his child. And so as we walk as those redeemed by Jesus Christ, we take these evil days and we redeem them in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we walk as though these days belong to the Lord, not to the devil, not to evil. So some questions for us this morning. Are we walking wisely, or are we walking foolishly? Do our lives reflect what Christ has done for us and in us, or do they not? Do we know what the will of the Lord is? And if we don't know it well enough, what are we doing to change that? Let's pray.